especially nowadays, this is the only reason they pray. Something has gone wrong in their life. Or something has gone wrong in a very close relative or friend's life. And they feel the need to pray for the problem. But always remember, pray before the problem comes.
Amen.
And in Isaiah, to extend life. So the subject of answered prayers, the Bible records 650 of them. I, of course, mentioned only 10. There are many, many more. But study them and pattern your life after them. Every Christian needs to develop a consistent, faithful pattern of prayer. I would say this is probably where I struggle most. If you are able to every single morning get up at 4:30 in the morning, come and pray for an hour at the church, and then leave, and then go about your day, I admire you. Because it's hard. And I know it's not any easier for you than it is for me. It's just that self-discipline, and I admire you. Contrary to popular opinion, prayer does not come easy. If it is of your opinion that prayer comes easy, you need to, I hope you can walk a mile in my shoes, because it's not easy. Learning to pray and being taught by the Word and the Spirit of how to pray should be a priority. There is a secret place of the Most High, and it is found in prayer. I find that, and just from experience, if you want to take my advice, go for it. If not, don't. That's totally up to you. But it has been my experience that when I say I'm going to go and I'm going to pray for 2 hours every single day for the next 12 months, I don't make it. Because in a sense, you can say I set my goals too high. But it's amazing to me if I say I'm going to go down and pray for 15 minutes every day. 15 minutes isn't very long. It goes by really quick. Yeah. And I know people say time flies when you're having fun. It flies when you're having fun and not having fun. So 15 minutes goes really quick. You come back the next day and say, I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. And you do that for a week. The next week you'll notice 20 minutes goes by a lot quicker than that 15 minutes did. Even if you didn't plan on praying for 20 minutes, you'll look at the clock and you'll realize, whoa, I've prayed for 25 minutes. I got to get going. And you got to go about your day. And I know that sounds like you're not putting God first in your life by saying, I got to get going, but it is life. And sooner or later, it's going to come to you and you're going to realize that where you were running out of things to say to God in 15 minutes or sometimes in 5 minutes, you're able to pray for an hour or 2 hours or even more and not run out of things to say to God.
Right.
All
right.
And that's where being taught to pray comes in, because God can teach us to pray.
Right. Yeah.
Connective tissue bind our physical bodies together to keep them strong. There are connectives in prayer that makes it strong and effective. Without them, prayer becomes powerless and weak. Offered with connectives, prayer becomes the most powerful force in the life of a Christian. Prayer and obedience. Disobedience to God and His Word destroys desired results of our prayers, but obedience to God is the key answerer of prayer. We can pray all we want, for God to help us. But if we're being disobedient, and I understand God has the ability, he can bless the wicked. I mean, it says throughout the Word of God, in Psalms, I can't quote the scripture off the top of my head, but it says, why are you blessing my enemy, basically? Why are you helping them? But yet, if we're obedient to God, he's a lot quicker to answer our prayers.
Right. Yeah.
Prayer and the armor of God. I already mentioned this. An inseparable bond exists between prayer and spiritual armor. The armor is effective through prayer. Prayer and faith. Doubt will reduce the most sincere prayer in an ineffectual request. It is the prayer of faith that saves the sick. Faith coupled with prayer can move mountains and accomplish the impossible. If you were to pray to God to be healed, and you're already thinking, God can't do this, the likelihood is God's not going to do it, because there's no faith.
Right.
If you are praying for a better position on your job, and you have no faith, it's pretty much a waste of time. It goes hand in hand with obedience. Prayer and persistence. So often we pray briefly and without persistence, manifesting to God the unimportance of the request. Continual asking is important and biblical. Pray without ceasing. We always need to be ready to pray. That don't mean necessarily that you go through Walmart screaming out prayers. But yet, always having God and prayer on the forefront of your mind.
Right.
Pray repetitively. We are forbidden to engage in vain repetition.
Right.
And that is not saying the same thing as pray repetitively. Jesus in the garden went three times to pray for the same thing.
Right.
But yet, I'm sure, actually I know, he didn't pray in vain repetition.
Right.
Vain repetition, I'm sure most of us know, is just the repeating of a single phrase. And there are certain times that you may be in intercession, that you may repeat yourself. But there is a difference between that vain repetition,
right,
and praying for something repetitively.
Right.
Elijah prayed seven times in succession for rain. He went out, he asked for rain, he went out, there was nothing there. He prayed again, went back out. So what I'm saying is, don't give up. Just because your prayer is answered the very first time you pray it, don't quit praying it.
Right.
And there's so often that our prayer isn't answered right away, and so we just give up. We say, well, it's not God's will that prayer be answered, so we'll just move on. But what if Elijah had done that? He had prayed six times and then just said, you know what? Forget it. It's not God's will.
Yeah.
I thought it was, but it's not. So, forget it.
Right.
But he went out that seventh time.
Right.
Pray earnestly. Pray fervently. As I mentioned, James 5 and 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent is from a Greek word meaning heat, zeal, or ardor. To pray fervently means to put some heat behind it. It means to put something with it that is going to make that prayer boil. Effectual, again, is from the Greek word meaning to be effective, efficient, and be mighty in. This goes to say that vain repetition, it's not effectual. It's not efficient. If I go up to, and I know Pastor has used this before, but if, I'll just use Miles since he's worked for me before. If I go up and I just keep repeating, "Hey Miles, can you do something for me? Hey Miles, can you do something for me?" Pretty soon he's just going to say, "What? What do you want me to do?" If I go to my wife and I just say, "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you," sooner or later, that's not going to mean the same as if I say it with a ferventness or something of that nature. Prayer and fasting go hand in hand. Fasting is a powerful ally of prayer, and special things are accomplished when these two things are used simultaneously. Fasting without prayer is pretty much pointless. You're just going hungry.
Right.
Fasting and prayer can make mountains move.
Right.
Prayer, this is my last one, prayer and forgiveness. An unforgiving spirit actually hinders and stops our prayers. Forgiveness must emanate from the heart while we pray. The Bible says, bring your gift and leave it at the altar. There's so much in, even just this one, a whole message could be taught on prayer and forgiveness. Of course, Pastor has taught a lot on that. But if we have aught in our heart against our brother or our sister, and we're not forgiving them for something, God is not going to hear our prayers.
Right.
Or he will hear our prayers, but he will not honor them.
Right.
Because they are not being presented in the way they should be.
Right.
Let's all stand. I'm about to conclude. Prayer, as I mentioned, is one of our highest privileges and one of the most effective forces in our life. Without prayer, we're very ineffective in our walk with God. I know I've grown up in church and around church, and I've seen people that didn't pray, and they stayed in church. They continued in sports, they call it a bench warmer. They continued to not have a starting position, but to just be a bench warmer. And it was to do with their prayer life. That's where it started. They didn't have a personal walk with God. They had a church that they went to. They didn't have prayer in their life. Applying and using the proper connectives will bring amazing results. Even if you don't get everything you ask for. The results of prayer are above and beyond what you could even imagine. And when you think, when you have a goal of where you want to be and your goal is here, when you reach there, you're going to realize you have set your goal so low, and you'll want to reach up here.
Right.
And then if you reach that goal, you're going to want to reach up there.
Amen.
And the benefits of prayer, like I said, bring amazing results.
Right.
Our generation needs men and women who know how to pray.
Right.
And more than that, who will pray.
Right.
Amen.
If you know how to pray, that's great. But if you don't use that knowledge and pray, it does no good for you to know how to pray.
Amen.
Just like I know how to build a lot of things. But if I sit on the couch at home and eat potato chips, not much is getting done.
That's right.
So we need men and women who will pray, and young people who will pray.
Yeah.
I know I mentioned last time I preached that I know being a young person is hard, but prayer makes things so much easier.
Right.
Amen.
As people of God, we need to join together in this coming few weeks and beyond, that we can pray with a fervency and have direction in our prayer. And that not only a direction, but that it can be effective. That we're not just using those vain repetitions. That we're not just showing up here on Tuesday and just here to say, I'm here to warm a pew or I'm here to warm a seat. But I'm here to pray. And I got a reason that I'm here.
Right.
And there's so many other things that this world can distract us from, and that it can pull our attention away. I even noticed this morning that there was things in my mind that were just trying to grab my attention. But we have to have a hold on our mind that we can put something there that's going to focus our mind and give us an effectual and fervent prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's remember when we come back tonight and throughout this week, just because we're only having prayer on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, don't mean we don't need prayer on Monday and Friday and Saturday.
Amen.
Amen.
We need to have a daily walk with God. Paul said, I die daily.
Right.
Not physically, but spiritually.
Right.
He had to kill himself in prayer, in a sense. So let's all remember this. And when we come tonight, prayer is at 5:30. I know I've been a little bit different, and not necessarily going to have an altar call, because I believe that this is more for a personal prayer life. I know we all should pray at church, but even more than we should pray at church during church services, we need to have a personal prayer life. So when we do come to church and we do gather here, we can benefit others. Amen? So we're not coming having to get all prayed through and get ourselves right, but we've been doing right all week.
Right.
We've been following after the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Remember, prayer tonight, 5:30, church at 6.
Amen.
Hallelujah.